Hello and welcome to the Thursday, July 19th, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Mark Baggett has a nice diary post up today, how to use the resource monitor mode of a performance monitor in Windows to do some simple malware analysis. Of course, if you have the choice, there are better tools out there like Sysinternals Process Monitor, but performance monitor comes with Windows. So really, you don't have to install anything new. If you just walk up to a system, you're suspicious what's going on, performance monitor gives you a quick insight into what's happening. The trick to launch it in resource monitor mode is just to add the /res for resource switch to the end of the command, and it will give you things like, for example, what's using CPU time. It will tell you network connection, even do reverse resolution of IP addresses to give you a little bit insight into what's happening on the system. So it's pretty nice. Take a look at the diary, and of course it's a tool you want to play with before you actually have to use it, so you're kind of familiar with what's happening on your system while it's hopefully not infected. And then of course there's also a report mode in Performance Monitor where it is collecting data for 60 seconds, and then you can send off the report, for example, to an analyst to figure out what's happening. Really nice for remote analysis. It's not too hard to talk someone on the phone through running Performance Monitor with the report switch and then have them email you the report. So a bit like Hijack This, if you're familiar with that software that also can create reports like that. But again, it's something that's already installed on the system. And then we also got two diaries by Rob. He's talking about weak keys and weak ciphers. Both are a common problem in SSL configurations. So take a look at his article. One interesting thing here is that actually Microsoft now starts blocking RSA keys that are less than 1024 bits in size because they're just not providing any meaningful security anymore. But let's see what we have in other news. About a year ago, Twitter bought Whisper Systems, that's the maker of some encrypted phone software. Well, it turns out that Twitter, I guess, didn't know what to do with Whisper Systems after all, so they're now making the software that this company came up with, Redphone, GPL, open source, and they're putting it up on GitHub. The software has been available on Google Play for Android phones for a while, and it looks pretty slick. I haven't had a chance yet to use it myself. And security researchers at Microsoft found yet another phony Android application. The thing that's a little bit different about this one is that the Android store or Android marketplace it's being downloaded from looks very much like the official Google Play that distributes sort of the authenticated and screened Google applications. The application itself tries to disguise itself as Skype. However, if you start it up, it will send SMS messages to premium numbers that the user will then have to pay for. And as the user uses this application, additional malware will be installed. We have seen it quite a bit where these Android markets or Android stores are popping up all over the place. Usually they look distinctly differently than Google Play, but in this case, they actually try to sort of emulate Google Play. The application is targeting mostly users in Russia at this point. And a group of hacktivists was successful in gaining access to about 500 email accounts at various oil companies like ExxonMobil, Shell, BP, and others. In part, the attack was made possible because of a configuration error in a web application that gave access to usernames and MD5 hashed passwords. At this point, it's not clear how the data was used, but it appears to be obvious that the email accounts of the affected users may have been pilfered. And yesterday I talked about a rather trivial Amazon Kindle jailbreak. Turns out that iOS, of course, doesn't want to be left out. And the latest iOS 6 beta, which is beta 3, has already been jailbroken. However, the jailbreak being used was the so-called tethered kind, which means that whenever you do reboot the phone, you have to actually connect it to a system. Well, and this is it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.